Hello and welcome to another edition of America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. There is no doubt that every day we're presented with some kind of conflict ranging from inconsequential to earth-shattering. And we deal with conflicts in our relationships, at work, in school, and of course, internally. Psychotherapist and psychoanalyst Mindy Ute is an expert on relationship conflict resolution. She's a speaker and a writer and has been heard on America Weekend before. Hey, Mindy, welcome back to America Weekend.
Hey, Valerie. Good to be here.
Great to be with you as always, because you help calm our waters of conflict. You recently gave a couple of talks on marriage and prenups at the 92nd Street Y in New York City, and how conflict is actually good in marriage, right? You really believe that that's an important element of a successful and healthy marriage. Can you give us a highlight of that talk?
Sure. I talk to people about what is the essential ingredients of a long-term marriage. So once we're beyond that stage of falling in love, romantic wedding time with flowers and music and parties, what makes a marriage last for the long term? And essentially, the key to a long-term relationship is how to resolve conflict, because no matter how well people get along, there's always going to be differences. It's two people who come together to commit their lives to each other, but essentially they're different people, and there are always going to be aspects of life on which they disagree, and how they talk about that conflict, whether they can address it openly and honestly with each other without retaliating, without making each other feel scared or threatened or unsafe, is the key to a long-term relationship.
You know, I'm so glad you bring up that idea that conflict is inevitable. It is part of our lives, part of relationship. And this brings me to really why I wanted you on the program today. We are in such a bizarre election cycle, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
it goes without saying that this has been unique, to say the least. And there are relationships, marriages, lifelong friends that are on opposite sides of the aisle that are having a really difficult time because people are saying, how could you support this candidate? Don't you see? And it's now seeping into their relationships. First of all, are you seeing this in your practice?
I'm not only seeing it in my practice, I'm seeing it in my life. So the other day I had an experience where a friend of mine, who I had invited to spend Labor Day with, said to me, I hope you're not inviting your Republican friends. Mm-hmm. And I said, what are you talking about? And we had had dinner several months ago, and there are friends of mine who lean a little more conservatively. And he actually objected that if I had invited them, he was no longer going to come to my home.
Wow.
I was stunned. So I see it in my life, and I do see it in my patients. The other day, a young woman came in, and she had talked to her husband about some political issues, and he said, I never knew you were stupid. So things are getting really nasty. I mean, every political campaign is rife with conflict, mm-hmm. right? Especially a national election, a presidential campaign. The 2012 election was also a difficult one, but nothing like I've seen in this recent climate.
Absolutely. And so with that circumstance in your life, how do you resolve that? I'm curious to know, what did you do?
First of all, I was shocked and I was very disappointed. And I thought, what a terrible position I was put in to choose between my friends. I spoke up. I said, you know, I never expected that you would feel that way. These are friends of mine. And what that does, it reminds him and reminds myself that it's relationships that are most important. This political season will end, right? There'll be an election, we'll move on. But friendships are for life. And we all have to remember how important they are. And even when they come under attack, to fight to preserve them.
It's so fascinating to me because I've heard this now for the last several months. Like you, I have friends of all backgrounds and interest levels. And the main thing that I think is most important is just respect. I'd like to know how we can move forward from this time, Mindy. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some actionable tips on how to retain our friendships? And if friendships have been lost, can they be repaired?
Right. So the essential elements are the same as in a marital conflict. People feel strongly when people are fighting in a marriage, just as they are now in a political climate in which there are so many critical issues at stake. People are highly invested. and feel very strongly about their positions. But there are certain things that you don't do, right? You don't call people names. You don't assume the worst of each other. So when this man called his wife stupid, it was really obliterating her. There's no way of coming back from that. So the first thing you do is you don't call anybody anything, put people in a category. Basically, everybody is trying to understand how to move forward. We may prioritize different things. We actually may disagree with each other terribly. But once we call each other stupid or ill-informed or ridiculous or crazy, then there's no more dialogue. There's no more shared objective in trying to find a way to understand each other. So name calling, condescension, feeling an air of superiority about your beliefs, this kind of black and white thinking, I'm right, you're wrong, I won't listen to that. Those are the relationship destroyers.
If somebody's going to use that name, my feeling is they do that for another circumstance. Does that make sense?
That's true in every conflict, for sure. Some people get so anxious that they feel that fight or flight, I feel under attack, I'm going to attack back. And that's when conflicts escalate. If you can take a step back and experience two people as trying to understand each other, trying to explore, what are you saying? What am I saying? Where do we agree? What's our common ground? Then you actually have an opportunity to hear each other, understand each other, and grow. And this applies to every kind of relationship, whether it's a marital relationship, a workplace relationship, family relationships, and friends.
And then we have the big ball of social media that is constantly rife with people who are judgmental. And we have the Facebook issues now, too, where people are unfriending other friends because of their political views.
That's right. That's right. So there's the 24/7 news cycle where we're bombarded with all of this rhetoric. And then there's social media. And social media is also providing an opportunity for friends to attack friends. You feel in some way shielded by it, or it comes at you unexpectedly. You may not be ready to hear it. And so there is a mechanism for just shutting it down. And it's not very helpful to political or any other dialogue.
So if you have best friends, husband and wife, brother and sister, who are complete opposites in this political election, what else can they do to retain their relationship?
The first thing is don't try to persuade anybody to change. Don't try to think you have to fix them, turn them into something they're not. The goal of any dialogue, of any communication, is to understand. And ultimately, understanding is the healing mechanism, whether it's in our government, right, or whether it's in our relationships, because we all have differences. Sometimes those differences are intense, but they are essential to any relationship. And so once we stop trying to fix each other and convince each other and change each other's minds, we open a possibility for exploring the differences and actually not only finding common ground, but experiencing ways we can change and grow ourselves. That's the first. The second is assume the best in each other. This is a tough one, but it's necessary. So I don't, when I disagree with you, I don't assume you're stupid. I may think that you're ill-informed, but you're not stupid. You're not selfish. You're not uncaring. Actually, you are another human, like myself, trying to make their way in the world and figure out how we can live better together. So if you assume the best motives, not always easy, you can get much further in creating a dialogue. The other is don't take the moral high ground so easily. Mm-hmm. In other words, right? Don't have an air of superiority. I'm right, you're wrong. Value the differences. Listen to each other. Understand that people see each other from everyone has an agenda. Everybody has experiences that affect their point of view. And if you can give up that need to be right or to have control over the situation, you can take a step back and be open. I also think limiting time and place of these dialogues is important. There are some times when you just say politics are off the table, or if you see something going off the rails, maybe say, you know what, this is getting too hot. Let's just shelve this for another time. And ultimately, remind yourself how important these people are to you. Then you can step back and say, listen, I don't like the way we spoke to each other. Let's try it again. And there's, and even in that repair, Valerie, is so much healing to know that we can really confront each other openly and honestly, and then remind ourselves, oh yeah, you know, you're still my friend.
You can catch Mindy online, mindyute.com, and she also often writes for the Huffington Post. I'm Valerie Smaldone, and this is the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Would you like to feel better, more rested and relaxed at the end of the workday? Well, fortunately, there's a way. And here's the science of it.
I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
It seems that there are two types of workers, those with no energy at the end of the day and those with plenty. What's the difference? Workers who had something to look forward to at the end of their day weren't as tired when the workday was over. They had energy to spare. Tired workers, on the other hand, had no plans except to go home, rest up, and get ready to do the same old tiring rat race workday thing all over the next day. What's the cheap psychological trick? Schedule no fun work stuff early in the day and enjoyable work toward the end. Because you have something to look forward to, you won't be as tired at the end of the day. More info at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Recently in Chicago, a CVS pharmacy manager observed 35-year-old Anthony Kaiser shoplift a tube of toothpaste. In the parking lot, the manager tackled Anthony and choked him to death. Witnesses said although there was a struggle, the victim was yelling, "I can't breathe." The medical examiner determined the shoplifter's death was homicide. What were the charges against the CVS manager? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Even though it was ruled a homicide by choking, no charges were ever filed against the store manager. And that's the final verdict.